Welcome to Listen 2. This is Ted. The news was published on Thursday, October 3rd. Joining us today are Eric and Kate. We've got a hot topic on our hands, folks.
Thanks for having us, Ted. I'm excited to dig into this meaty issue.
Glad to be here. Let's cut to the chase, shall we?
Today we're discussing a major development in the fight against obesity in the UK. The NHS is planning to offer a new weight loss drug called Mounjaro to over 1.6 million Britons. Let's start with the basics. Eric, can you explain what Mounjaro is and how it works?
Sure thing, Ted. Mounjaro, also known as tirzepatide, is a real game changer in the weight loss world. It's part of a family of drugs called GLP-1 agonists, which help keep blood sugar in check. But here's the kicker. Mounjaro is so effective, it's been dubbed the King Kong of slimming jabs. It's like having a personal trainer and nutritionist in a syringe.
While that sounds impressive, I'm worried we're putting too much faith in a magic pill.
Or it's not just a pill, Kate. The results are staggering. Clinical trials showed patients shedding an average of 21% of their body weight in just 36 weeks. That's like dropping 42 pounds if you weigh 200. It's a game changer for people struggling with obesity.
But at what cost? This drug is $122 a month. That's like buying a small car every year. Is it really the best use of NHS?
Actually, Kate, the NHS sees this as a smart investment. Obesity-related health problems are draining billions from the healthcare system every year. It's like trying to bail out a sinking ship with a teacup. Preventing these issues could lead to massive long-term savings.
Interesting points from both of you. Now let's talk about the rollout plan. Kate, what can you tell us about how the NHS plans to distribute this medication?
Well, Ted, the NHS is taking a slow and steady approach with a phased rollout over 12 years. They're starting with the biggest fish in the pond, those with a BMI of 40 or higher who also have three weight-related health conditions. It's like they're dipping their toe in the water, but I worry it might not make a big enough splash in the wider obesity problem.
I have to disagree, Kate. This targeted approach is like precision bombing. It ensures that those most at risk get help first. It's a responsible way to introduce a new treatment.
But what about prevention, Eric? Shouldn't we be investing more in education and promoting healthier lifestyles rather than relying on a drug? It's like giving someone a fish instead of teaching them to
fish. It's not an either-or situation, Kate. The NHS isn't just handing out Mounjaro like candy. They're offering it as part of a wraparound health plan that includes diet and exercise support. It's like giving someone a fishing rod, teaching them to fish, and then also giving them some fish to eat while they're learning. This comprehensive approach addresses both immediate weight loss needs and long-term lifestyle changes.
Both of you raise valid points. Now let's discuss the potential impact. Eric, what kind of results can we expect from this rollout?
Well, Ted, if the clinical trials are anything to go by, we could see some pretty dramatic changes. We're talking about people potentially losing a quarter of their body weight in just 18 months. That's like going from being the size of a sumo wrestler to a lightweight boxer. But it's not just about the numbers on the scale. This could lead to significant improvements in overall health, reducing the risk of diabetes, heart disease, and even some cancers.
I hate to rain on your parade, Eric, but I think we need to be realistic. Sure, the drug might help people lose weight, but what happens when they stop taking it? Are we just creating a yo-yo effect? It's like putting a Band-Aid on a broken leg.
As we continue our discussion on the NHS's plan to offer Mounjaro to millions of Britons, I'd like to explore a historical parallel. Can either of you think of a similar large-scale medical intervention from the past?
Absolutely, Ted. This reminds me of the introduction of statins in the UK back in the 80s. Statins were like the superheroes of the medical world swooping in to lower cholesterol and save hearts everywhere. Like Mounjaro, they started off as a VIP treatment for high-risk patients before becoming the talk of the town.
While I see the similarity, Eric, I think it's important to note that statins were targeting a specific medical condition, whereas obesity is often linked to complex social and environmental factors.
That's true,
it's
Kate,
not.
But let's not underestimate the impact of statins. They've been lifesavers, literally. The NHS estimates that statins save 7,000 lives each year in the UK. That's like filling up a small town with people who would otherwise have kicked the bucket. Mounjaro could have a similar impact on obesity-related deaths.
But statins didn't solve the underlying causes of heart disease, did they? We still have high rates of cardiovascular problems in the UK, isn't there a risk that Mounjaro could be seen as a quick fix?
I'd argue that statins gave people a chance to improve their health while making lifestyle changes. It's like giving someone a life raft while teaching them to swim. Mounjaro could do the same for obesity. It's not meant to be a standalone solution, but a tool to help people kickstart their weight loss.
Interesting comparison. Now let's look at the delivery method. The NHS is considering virtual clinics for prescribing Mounjaro. Kate, what are your thoughts on this approach?
I'm skeptical, Ted. Obesity is a complex issue that often requires face-to-face support. Virtual clinics might make the drug more accessible, but are we sacrificing quality care for convenience? It's like trying to fix a car engine over a video call. Some things just need a hands-on approach.
I see it differently, Kate. Virtual clinics could make this treatment more accessible to people who might struggle to attend regular in-person appointments due to work, family commitments, or mobility
issues.
But what
about the personal touch, Eric? Doesn't obesity treatment require a more hands-on approach? You can't give someone a virtual hug or a pat on the back for their
progress. Not necessarily, Kate. Many people are comfortable with telehealth now, and it allows for more frequent check-ins. It's like having a weight loss coach in your pocket. Plus, the NHS plan includes wraparound support, which could be a mix of virtual and in-person care. It's the best of both worlds.
Both perspectives are valuable. Now, let's consider the potential challenges. Eric, what obstacles do you foresee in implementing this program?
Well, Ted, there are a few hurdles we'll need to jump. First off, there's the sheer scale of the rollout. We're talking about potentially treating 1.6 million people over 12 years. That's like trying to serve a gourmet meal to the entire population of Philadelphia. There might be supply chain issues, training challenges for healthcare providers, and the need for robust monitoring systems to track progress and side effects.
Not to mention the potential for misuse or abuse of the drug, Eric. What if people who don't meet the criteria try to get their hands on it? Or what if it becomes a crutch, preventing people from making necessary lifestyle changes?
As we wrap up our discussion, let's look to the future. How do you think this rollout of Mounjaro will unfold over the next decade? Eric, what's your vision for the best-case scenario?
In the best-case scenario, Ted, we'll see a significant reduction in obesity rates across the UK. It'll be like watching the nation collectively drop a few belt sizes. The phased rollout will allow the NHS to fine-tune the program as they go, potentially expanding it to include more people. We could see a dramatic decrease in obesity-related health problems like diabetes, heart disease, and certain cancers. It's like giving the whole country a health makeover.
That's an overly optimistic view, Eric. While I hope for positive outcomes, I'm concerned about potential negative consequences. We might see people becoming overly reliant on medication instead of making sustainable lifestyle changes.
I understand your concern, Kate. But remember that Mounjaro is part of a comprehensive plan. In the best case, it will be a catalyst for broader lifestyle changes supported by education and ongoing healthcare support. It's not just about losing weight, it's about gaining
health. But what about side effects, Eric? No drug is without risks. We could be facing a situation where people experience unexpected health issues as a result of long-term use of Mounjaro.
That's why the phased rollout is so important, Kate. It allows for careful monitoring and adjustment. It's like a nationwide clinical trial. In the best case, any side effects will be minor and manageable, far outweighed by the health benefits of significant weight
loss.
Those
are two very different visions of the future. Now let's consider a less optimistic scenario. Kate, what's your view on how this could unfold negatively?
In a worst-case scenario, Ted, we could see this drug creating a two-tier system where only those who meet the strict BMI criteria get access to effective treatment. It's like having a lifeboat that only saves the heaviest passengers. This could lead to people trying to gain weight to qualify, which is dangerous and counterproductive. We might end up making the problem worse before we make it better.
That's a bit extreme, don't you think, Kate? The NHS has a track record of adjusting criteria as needed. If the drug proves effective, it's likely the eligibility criteria will be expanded over
time. Perhaps, Eric. But there's also the risk of creating a quick fix mentality. People might see Mounjaro as a magic bullet and neglect the crucial aspects of diet and exercise. We could end up with a population dependent on medication for weight management.
I think you're underestimating people, Kate. Most individuals who struggle with obesity are eager for any tool that can help them improve their health. Mounjaro could provide the boost they need to make lasting changes. It's like giving someone a ladder to climb out of a pit. They still have to do the climbing, but now they have the means to do it.
Both scenarios present important considerations. As a final question, how do you think this program might impact public perception of obesity and its treatment?
I believe it could lead to a more nuanced understanding of obesity as a complex health issue rather than a simple matter of willpower. It might help reduce stigma and encourage more people to seek help.
While I hope Eric is right, I worry it might reinforce the idea that there's an easy fix for obesity, potentially undermining efforts to address the root causes of the problem.
Well, folks, it looks like the rollout of Mounjaro will be as complex as the issue it's trying to address. Only time will tell how this King Kong of weight loss drugs will shape the future of obesity treatment in the UK. Thanks to Eric and Kate for their insights, and to our listeners for tuning in. Until next time, this is Ted signing off from Listen 2.